Welcome back to The Return. Vicky has just encouraged us in amazing ways, and now this is growth, relational, seminar type thing. Enjoy. Put that on there. Phil, it's me. And Phil, so myself and Tracy are going to be exploring one of the values that we're looking at today, which is relational, the value of being relational, and how that connects in with us as a journey, and how that connects in with what we feel God is calling us to be, and where he's calling us to go. So, basically it's the values of who we are that mark us out, values that make us who we are, a bit like our DNA, what is in us, actually, which you can't always see, physically grab hold of, is what makes who you are, what you look like to others, what people engage with. So values are really important, and that's why we want to kind of go right back to that root and not just talk about the outcomes of what it looks like, which we'll get to that, but actually start talking about some of the values. And so we want the values that mark us out to be really what we're about. And to like us, I had a bath this morning, so I'm really achy. I've had a bit of a funny week and trying to sleep. But there was a Radox bottle. So Radox is kind of quite meaningful in the journey, I'm realizing. But on the bottle, I brought it with me. Because I don't, and my mind just wandered, and for some reason, here we go, muscle soak. So if I'm having a bath, I'll say, I'm going to have a muscle soak, and Tracy knows what that means. And Radox, it says, muscle soak, on the back, it says, Radox bath experience. Radox Herbal Bath has been specially formulated for the best ever relaxing. It contains clary sage, renowned for its soothing effect on aching muscles, helping you to relax after strenuous activity. And so it got tick boxes here. It's got relaxing fragrance, proven to relax formulation, contains calming essential oils, and it's proven to relax and reduce tension significantly better than a bath without Radox. So I thought, oh great, so that's what I put in my bath, so that's what's going to happen. Like, fantastic. And I thought, man, that's what we want for the journey. We don't just want to have a load of fancy words and whatever. We actually want to say this is who we are, and that to actually happen for people to, that to be an expectation for us, because that's what we're part of. But for others who also like read the bottle or read the flyer or read the website or talk to somebody, one of us. So I'm just going to remind us of what we've actually got written on the front of one of our flyers, if people have read it, I imagine people have, but it says, the journey, find companions, rest, direction and nourishment for yours. And then the blurb underneath it says, we're all on a journey, but where have we come from, where are we heading, and who are we journeying with? These are the questions we must all face in life, and the answers you give can reveal much. We are all spiritual seekers of some sort. At the journey, we're exploring becoming Jesus seekers within student culture and what it means to follow the ultimate journeyer. So that's what it says in our bottle. That's what it says in our flyer. And that's kind of what we want to be doing, actually, exploring some of that and what it actually means and what experience that is. What are our expectations here? So we want to be that community that we've just described there. That's what we're setting out to be. Probably quite high, but let's set it high and let's go for that. That marks us out. That when other people try it, when other people taste it, they experience that too. So it's not just something that is in writing, it's something that is real, that is there. So these values that we're going to be looking at, relational, radical and risk-taking, are values that should help some solid foundations come in. And when I was thinking of this, foundations, I remembered back to the junction. I know all of us weren't around then, but at the junction there was quite a few words and prophetic stuff given about digging deep foundations to build and to grow on. And I think we're still in that stage of doing that. And so this is a bit of that actually pushing into that. So there's a little buzz phrase which I heard again this week. And I think it's come from Ness Wilson in Loughborough, but Rich used it, is relational greatness. And that's what we want to be known for. We want to be known
for relational greatness as a community. So we want to be a community that gives and models the highest of importance to growing good, healthy, lasting relationships. You know, that's what we want people to see, that these guys are committed to one another. There's something good here, there's something that's attractive here, and that wants me to come be part of it. Someone just at the door. So we want to be loving, these are some aspects, attributes. We want loving, caring, putting others first, being people of forgiveness, being people of grace, being people who can say sorry when we need to say sorry, or even when we don't sometimes. Encouraging others, being open, being committed, being honest, being vulnerable. So there are some of the attributes that might carry. And there's three aspects that we can, when we look to Jesus and how he developed relationships, there's kind of three categories, I guess, or ways that he helped relationships grow and that he invested into people and relationships. And these are just kind of just to help us think about, you know, hopefully to encourage us that there's opportunity for us to do this, because sometimes for some people it's like, yeah, this is what I'm about, this is great. People, just chuck me with them, that's great. For others, it's like, oh no, do I have to know people? But Jesus was a relational person, and so three areas are just going to briefly just touch on is formal, informal, and experiential. And the formal is something to do within structure. So as a journey, as Vicky mentioned last night, we're looking to grow, and so structure, we're looking to develop that, because we know that's important for relationships to grow and develop, and space relationships, we need the formal. So things, would you believe it or not, as a journey we have formal stuff, which is, I guess this weekend actually is quite formal, because we've invited you all, we've got a program together, there's a bit of structure there to help with stuff. But then in the ongoing, there'll be things like the house gatherings. There'll be lunch, and there'll be worship, teaching, and prayer time. So there's expectations there. What's going to happen? Cell is in one sense quite a formal thing, as in, because we're trying to find ways of creating community and developing that 24/7, and saying, right, come on, let's get together and commit to one another, and use this to bless one another, but also to reveal God to others around. Obviously, the corporate gatherings, that's where our dream for that is to be able to meet on campus with that. We don't know if that's going to happen this year or if it's God's timing for this year. But actually, that to be, again, something which reveals something of relationships, something of connecting with others. So, and some of it is also in discipleship. It's like if you catch up with someone, maybe you've got a plan. Well, I'd like to catch up with you a few times, maybe every other week or whatever, and plan a time to meet up with people. That's another way of just building into relationships. So that's the formal, so it's quite structured. The informal is obviously quite organic. Hey, Tom. That's a Tom word. That's good. Which is really good, and Jesus used that a lot. Is actually just literally just hanging out, just walking down the road and seeing what happens. But also that's actually just going out to have meals together, or just, you know, going shopping together, or whatever, going to the cinema, or going down the pub, just hanging out, or in halls, just like keeping your door open, or in house, just, you know, going to the lounge or whatever, and just hang out together. So a bit of the unplanned, as it were. And just giving God space just to work stuff through and build relationships there. And then the third is the experiential one, which is basically just getting on and doing stuff with people. Doing stuff as team, like the guys who went on that mission to see, I'm sure, like Catherine and Charlie got to know each other a whole lot better, and other guys there, and guys that went to China. There's obviously a bond that forms in doing folks and stuff, or whether it's something locally, even if it's like some of the prayer walking stuff, even just in doing something like that, there's a connection, relationships can form, actually just stepping out and trying some stuff. We can kind of build relationships together and see that happen. So it's a bit about relational greatness, and Tracy's going to make this seminar a bit more interactive for us. So.
Sorry, I'm not talking, I'm just laughing. Sorry? No. Yeah. Won't it pick me up? Okay. I was told it, don't worry. Okay, basically, what we're going to do is we're going to, on our own, first of all, you can use the back of these sheets or the box, that's fine. The question is, what would relational greatness look like to you or for you? Should we say that again? So what would relational greatness look like for you? If we just spend a couple of minutes.
For those online, the pause button isn't working, so hang in with us, we'll fast forward a little bit and we'll be back with you.
Yeah, it must be.
Are they joining
us? Yeah, they are. Has everyone had a chance to write something down? Cool. Good. Well, we're not going to feedback on that one, but that one's kind of for you to develop a bit on and to start look a little bit into. Moving on, obviously, from actually relationships being good and healthy with one another, hopefully then, as we mentioned a little bit on the last gathering on Sunday, hopefully actually sets a pace for actually seeing a community then come out of those relationships, actually when they're all brought together, actually seeing a good community built. Hey, Rachel.
Hello.
Welcome. So the barns have arrived, those online. And I think as the journey actually, there's something of a good community does already exist. Hey, hello, come in. Yeah, do you want to shift the couch back? Create a bit more space. Who did? Oh.
Why did you do that, Tom?
Tom has a special touch. Cool. We'll let the guys join us as and when. We'll carry on. See, I'm really encouraged that a good sense of community does already exist in the journey. Just from last year, I know at the end of last term, there just set a sense of with the baptisms and with social stuff happening, there was just a sense of real momentum there. And just with some of the stories coming through, I know particularly one of Catherine's friends, and I know with Charlie and Chantelle, obviously over summer become a Christian as well. Actually, there's a bit of momentum going on, and Marcus as well, his mates. I'm just saying his names online, but you're fantastic people, and you probably aren't even ever going to listen to this, so it's okay. So I'll say, but I will keep saying nice things about you, and so yeah, good sense of community does already exist, and. It was so encouraging at the end of last year, and I think that is one of our real positive aspects about us as a community, and we need to really keep hold of, and also really, really nurture that in the sense of new people joining as well, in the sense of actually people keeping hold of their mates, and actually that being really important to them, whether in course, in hall, or going out socialising or whatever. You know, I think it's a fantastic problem to have as a church, for people to have too good of friendship networks that, they can't make it along to this thing, because actually their flatmates are going out, and obviously getting a balance of it, but actually, I know when Dave Page said a couple of times different stuff, and the reason why actually there's something really important happening relationally in Hall, actually just encourage us with that as well, to be a community that is, kind of looking outward. And a couple of verses of this, which one is we looked at was at the beginning of last year when we were looking through Acts, obviously just how the church was with one another. So that's Acts 2:42-47, which you probably know a bit of already by now, but I should just read it. So Acts 2:42, it says they joined. Here we go, actually, it's after some baptism as well, so I'll read the verse before. Those who believe what Peter said were baptized and added to the church, about 3,000 in all. And they joined with the other believers and devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, sharing in the Lord's Supper and in prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together constantly and shared everything they had. They sold their possessions and shared the proceeds with those in need. They worshipped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their group those who were being saved. That sounds fantastic, doesn't it? And it's like, I'm just like, that's a dream. It's like, that was the early church. Why not now? Let's have that for now. And then also in John 13, which this is one of my most favourite verses, if that's a word at all. John 13. Is that a word, Luke?
No.
Okay. Both to some be told, even to words. But, and it can be another journeyism. No, journeyism, but that means that you can do anything then. I don't think it is. Journeyism a word, Luke?
No,
definitely not. Okay. So, in John 13, verse 34, where am I? Here. So, it's Jesus speaking.
Is that 34?
34, yeah. Not 3-4, but 34. So, now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. And, also, just Jesus encourages us to love one another, to build relationships with one another, and actually, simply through seeing those relationships, seeing that community, people will see something of God, see something of Jesus through that. So, Tracy is going to just again break that down for us and help us think a bit more about that.
box again. Okay, what could this community look like in the journey? This community that Phil has been talking about, what could it look like specifically in the journey?
What invitations could you be giving? Tracy gave that to the group. Next bit we're going to talk about is invitation giving. Jesus was personal for relational greatness. He spoke to people and spoke to people about seeing life in another way, invited them to experience this in all fullness. And he spoke about dreams, spoke about a God, about knowing God in a different way, maybe not in the way that others have shown him. So this is what we want to be as a community, and Steve Chalk in his The Lost Message of Jesus book, which is a fantastic book, a good one to read, spoke about this, and it connects in with what Vicky was saying last night. Yeah, what Vicky was saying last night about rest and the rest that God brings, and actually the yoke that we carry, do we carry a heavy yoke, or are we letting that yoke be taken and an easier, lighter yoke that is from God, and to not coming under what others say. So Steve Chalk says this in his book, The Lost Message. If Jesus had not come to a modern inclusive kingdom, open to all, if he made the same or similar demands on people as the Pharisees did, and placed restrictions on them, if he had come with his own sort of entry qualifications, then in what sense was his message any different? In what sense was it good news? If Jesus' message was not inclusive to them, then rather than being revolutionary, it was just a new version of the same old religious bad news. The lost and revolutionary heart of Jesus' message is simply this: God accepts us as we are, without judgment or condemnation, and gradually, through his love and acceptance, draws us ever closer to understanding and living out shalom in our lives. In other words, acceptance precedes repentance, not the other way around. In this, Jesus' message was the exact opposite of the Pharisees. They insisted that people change before they could be included or belong. In effect, through their laws and regulations, they had built a gigantic doorstep that people had to clamber across in order to gain access to the community of Israel. Jesus, on the other hand, included people first. He offered them the reality of belonging to God's kingdom, which then naturally led them to begin thinking about who they were and what their lifestyles were like. Jesus' message was simple. Come as you are, the door of acceptance is flung wide open. The kingdom of God is here and it's available to you, right here, right now. However, be prepared to change if you really want to enjoy the benefits of being in God's community. Jesus lowered the doorstep that the Pharisees had built, but as he did, he also lowered the mantle at the top of the doorframe so that anyone who wanted to enter had to stoop in order to get in. And this is the community, the inclusive community that Jesus spoke of, that Jesus not spoke of, actually demonstrated. And as a community, that's what we want to be like. We want to be people that are including people, that are saying to people maybe who don't include themselves, who think they're out, who think that's it, who thinks, the world has said to them, God won't want to know you, or other people have said words on them. We want to say, no, actually, this is what God says. God is a God of acceptance. God wants to know you, and God wants to embrace you. So that's the sort of church we want to be. So as a community, we want to grow in belonging and becoming more inclusive, giving out to people. One way in doing this is like Jesus did with finding connection points, building friendships with those around us, and inviting these people on the journey with him of finding rest, on a journey of seeking after Jesus. So we're just going to do some group work now, which is how could we give invitations? What invitations could you give?
Cool, good. Well, I hope that was helpful. And I think that's something that hopefully we're going to be developing. Partly is the invitation of actually, some of the initial invitation of actually saying, offering actually Jesus to people, but actually then we'll enter that as something of in the concept of a journey. Inviting people on a journey is quite a non-threatening thing. That's quite a non-threatening thing to do. I'll just come and hang out with us or whatever. And so just, in a mindset, actually seeing that as something which is just a natural thing. So it's not, which is something why I feel it's like we don't want to be pressing as in, oh, we must have so many people at this or whatever. We want it to be quite natural and just naturally develop a culture of invitation giving. And that's to be part of who we are, whatever time. This past year, it's been quite interesting. I think the kind of best as in people turning up to social event was actually for the China mission, I think, which, you know, well, in one sense it wasn't advertised in that way, but actually it's fantastic that happened. And just I think because the culture was starting to grow like that, and so we want to nurture that and encourage that to continue happening. I won't read it through, but in Matthew 4:18-20 and in Luke 5:1-11, it's where Jesus basically invites the disciples to come with him, to follow him, and invites them to what he says, rather than they were fishermen, so rather than fishing for fish, I'll teach you and show you how to fish for men and to fish for people. And the invitation that God gives us Christians is to fish, is to draw people and point people to him bit by bit. And like the fishermen, it's often a community thing as well. So there's responsibility on ourselves, but like the fishermen that had a big net and they all had to get round the net and pull it in, actually there's a community response to that as well, where we're all responsible. There's a team effort going on. So don't feel alone in that. So there's a few suggestions of invitation giving is obviously, this term specifically, there's Alpha, is a big opportunity to invite people just to explore Christianity, explore who Jesus is. So I encourage you to think about who can I give invites for that to. And obviously stuff like even just coming for lunch on a Sunday when we have lunch together, inviting people for lunch, if they want to hang around afterwards for the house gatherings, then they can, but if they don't, then that's fine as well. And just again, just opportunities there. Obviously the Monkeys every Sunday night are going to be down there from 8 o'clock. Again, that's a way of just experiencing community, inviting friends for a drink, and just again non-threatening. Obviously Cell is a whole community in itself, and building relationships there, whether it be the actual cell meeting or whether it be just lunch that you're having together, or a few of you are going for a drink, or just hanging out in someone's room, whatever it is, you know, again, that's just a way of giving out invitations. Baptisms was fantastic, a lot of invitation giving happened there, so loads of people were there. Socials, obviously, just making the most of it, like fireworks or whatever that is happening throughout the year. Just think, you know, what invitation giving can I set about doing here? And then obviously the big one for beginning the term would be refreshers, would be with all these new faces, actually being bold in inviting people. We want to be bold in inviting people to experience the journey, to experience this community, because actually there's something where we recognise this is a good place for people, especially for students, this is a good place to grow, and we're confident in that. And in some ways we might even feel this is the best place for them to grow. I thought that personally, but overall also invite them to be part of church. We want to invite people to connect in, and it's us that can help do that. So we're going to end with some faith goals, if you haven't written some already, for a relational bit. Just so you know, one of these can be in, if you know, as Vicky said, it's not just numbers. If there is numbers that you think, oh, I feel God saying this to me, or if there's specific, you know, we also need some specifics and specific people or friendships you want to invest in. Some will be maybe within the journey, other Christians, others will be within the journey that aren't Christians, or even friends that maybe haven't even met people from the journey, but just thinking of ways, or might be discipleship stuff, or a whole mixture of things. One of the things that as a team, just to share with you, I think I shared it on Sunday, but just say, as a faith goal we've put down for the journey, is that as we grow, we want, and we've recognised that the journey community, about 2/3 would say they're Christians, and about 1/3 are on some sort of journey of seeking after Jesus, great. And actually as we grow in numbers, we want that to remain. We think it's quite a healthy balance, actually, roughly 2/3 actually being Christians, really, you know, another 1/3 who are just kind of journeying with these guys, and we don't want to lose that. We don't want to kind of grow to say 100 people who are part of the journey, and then actually where are the guys that are travelling with us, where, you know, we want to actually keep that going. So that's just one of the faith goals that we've set as a team. But have a think yourself now for 2 or 3 minutes, and then we're going to have a break for tea, coffee and that. So spend a couple of minutes just thinking about that.
Drop some of it down.